Welcome. Now, isn't there a scripture that says many are cold but few are frozen? Or something like that anyway, I think. Yeah. Good morning. Good to see you. We're thankful that you have survived this storm. And as Kay and I were driving this morning, you can just see the line starting at Fordland and going all this way. And we'll be praying here in just a few minutes for all that have been affected by this ice storm. But we're glad that you are here. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of our worship. I'm Pastor Jay Scribner, your interim pastor, and delighted so much to be with you today. Hey, look at this. Look at these windows. Let's say thanks, all right? Wow. Now, it looks like we're going to have to take up another offering this morning in order to finish out those. No, just kidding. The money's in place, and it's purely a matter of time. They'll get there. And they look great, and we're so appreciative to the Building and Grounds Committee of this past year and their help in helping to facilitate all of this. And no need to come up to us and say, "Did you know that window was cracked?" We know it's cracked. "Well, did you know that window was cracked?" We know it's cracked. Those will be replaced, and that was done in transport and in installation, and so those will be replaced. But we are so grateful for the appearance and for these. Thank you for your generosity. Also, I'm just pleased to tell you that we've been able to order all of the other windows in the building that need replaced outside of the auditorium. And that money is in place as well. And so we're so thankful for your generosity with all of that. And speaking of that, look in your bulletin over on the back page where it talks about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Look at our church goal and look what we have received so far. Yeah, give God praise for that too. Isn't that good? Now you've reached your church goal already for the Lottie Moon offering. If you haven't given to that, there's still time to do that. We could go way above our goal for that. But thank you for your help in reaching that as well. And you know, I forgot to ask something last week, and I apologize for this. How many of you, I know a number of you did, how many of you engaged yourselves on New Year's Day with the on-location praying? Lift a hand up. Lift it way up. Wow, that's great. That's great. And I know that some who are not here today were involved as well, but lots of our people were involved with that. So thank you. Now, men, here's something to pray about. We desperately need two men that would step up to the plate and help us with our RA program, Royal Ambassadors, on Wednesday nights. That thing is going great. We've got good help and good work workers in there now, but it is going so well, we actually need to split it. And so we need two other men. Would you pray about that, men? And see if God's calling you to help on Wednesday nights with our boys that come for Royal Ambassadors. Now, let me just call your attention to several other items that are there in your bulletin. We got a business meeting this evening starting at 7 o'clock. Be about 7:05 when we kick that off. Worship tonight at 6. And by the way, we're in the book of Nehemiah. What a great book study that is. And we're looking at the first six chapters over the next few weeks. We started last Sunday at 6 o'clock tonight, the book of Nehemiah. And then at 7:05, we'll be ready for our monthly business conference. Also, men, you've got, because of the inclement weather yesterday, we moved our breakfast to next Saturday. And so please note that. And we'll have a man here that'll be talking to us about disaster relief. Timely, huh? And also, if you're on a committee, please make note of the fact that next Sunday at 5 o'clock, we have a committee workshop. Men, another item for you, beginning on the 21st, we pick up a new series with our men's Bible study, so please plan to be involved in that. And then look at the item, men, about the Canada mission trip. All right, lots of items there in your bulletin, if you'll please give special attention to those. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads and our hearts, and let's pray together. And we especially want to pray a word of thanks for God's safety and security for us, but also I know people have been and maybe still are without power, and many of you lost trees and limbs, and some of it fell on your house, etc. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in your house today. Thank you for a nice, warm place together to worship you. And we don't want to take any of this for granted. Thank you for these beautiful windows that we have, and for the generosity of our people that have helped to replace and give us these new windows. Thank you, Father, for the way you've kept us safe, and especially through this recent storm. Lord, I just pray for people here within our fellowship and within our community and in the surrounding communities that have been hit hard by this ice storm. And we pray, Father, for your continued safety and for your continued security. It's times like these, Father, that our attention is drawn to the fact that we are so dependent on you. Things that are just totally out of our control and out of our hand helps us to realize that you are the one that gives us safety. You give us security. We are dependent on you. I pray for people that are engaged in service projects today to help restore power and to help clean up yards and to help cut up trees and to trim limbs. Lord, I pray for these people that you would give them safety, and thank you for them and their efforts and their energies, and we pray your blessings upon them. I pray that you would help us to be good neighbors and to help others within our community and the surrounding communities through this difficulty that has come just the last few days. Once again, Father, we acknowledge our need for you. We acknowledge our dependence upon you. We acknowledge our thankfulness for the fact that you have brought us through this storm, and you have helped us to weather the weather. And we just ask now, Father, that you would minister to us today as we worship you. We've come for that purpose. We thank you for those who are visiting with us today, and ask your blessings upon them as well. Father, there are those within our fellowship who are sick, and we ask for your healing ministry and your healing touch upon their physical bodies. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace to us. And now receive our prayers and our prayers from a heart of gratefulness and a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of worship today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's you give and you take away. Sometimes God gives and takes away too, but still blessed be his name no matter what happens in our lives. Let's sing together this morning, In Christ Alone. It's 506 if you'd like to use a hymnal. Let's stand together and sing if you would.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burn through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love!
Attention to this next verse.
There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he
today in the power of Christ. I want you to shake hands with someone around you and say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning. Psalms on Wednesday night. And we read through the entire Psalms. There's 150 Psalms, 150 chapters, very long. You know what the very last verse in Psalm says? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Do you have breath today? If you have breath, then you're supposed to praise the Lord. So let's stand together and sing this morning, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King.
Standing on the promises of Christ My King, through eternal ages let His praises ring.
Glory in the highest that we shall ever see. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Somebody's praying
me through. Somebody's praying me through. It might be my father, it might be my bride, or an old friend I forgot I had. But whoever it is, I'm so glad that somebody's praying me through. Yeah, somebody's praying me through the tears, through the rain, through the sorrow, through the pain. It keeps bringing me through, over and over again. So when you're drowning in a sea of hurt, and it feels like life couldn't get any worse, there is a blessing waiting to push back that curse, 'cause somebody's praying you through. Somebody's praying you through. Oh, yes. Someone got down on their knees and prayed for me. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying you through.
Steve, thanks, man. I love that song. Aren't you glad to be a part of God's church, his body, praying people? So, Steve, thanks for reminding us of that. Kent, praise team, praise band, thank you all. Nancy, choir, wow, what a great, I'd never heard that song. That was great, really neat. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, and get your listening sheet ready. This morning, a message entitled "The Principle of Church Attachment." The Principle of Church Attachment. I read one time of a man who described himself as an alumnus of the church. Interesting terminology. An alumnus of the church. Now, the general term alumni connotes past involvement in an organization, but present disengagement. Past involvement, but present disengagement. So an alumnus of the church then would suggest a person who was once actively involved in the spiritual community of believers, but is no longer involved in that spiritual community of believers. Now, folks, that's a tragic situation, to be honest with you. For someone to say, well, I'm an alumnus of the church. Now, unfortunately, that story is told a multitude of times in the 21st century. It is not hard to find someone that would identify themselves. They may not use that terminology. But if you were to ask them, are you an alumnus of the church? So, what about church membership? We've got that here. How many of you technically are members of First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove? Let me see. Lots of you. Lots of you. That doesn't surprise me. And we've got that. And man, almost every Southern Baptist church that I'm aware of has that, church membership. But what about that? Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say over the next minute. That is this. Church membership is probably not a biblical concept. Now, if you want to, in unison, go, all right. It's probably not a biblical concept. However, did you know there might be a however from this preacher? However, church attachment is a biblical concept. And that's what we're talking about today. Church attachment. Church involvement is a biblical concept. Church interrelationship is a biblical concept. Church attendance is a biblical concept. And church family interaction is a biblical concept. Well, we're talking about church attachment, and so let's look at this passage and at these five factors that I'm going to give you over the next few minutes about church attachment. Say those two words with me, would you please? Church attachment. All right, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verses 23, 24, and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." All right, now let me give you these five things. Here's number one. It involves an exhibition of your faith. It involves an exhibition of your faith. We're talking about church attachment this morning. I'm giving these five factors about church attachment. Number one, it involves an exhibition of your faith. That's found in verse 23, where it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now, faith is how we are converted to Christ. If you haven't been converted to Christ through faith, you haven't been converted to Christ. I'll just tell you that. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is how we are converted to Christ, and faith is how we continue in Christ. Now, look at that first phrase there in verse 23 where he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast. He says, hold fast, or hold on, or grip. It's like the last time I rode a roller coaster at Silver Dollar City. And when I did that, I like riding roller coasters, by the way. I like those kind of fast rides. But I got to tell you, I think my age is catching up with me. Because the last time I rode with my granddaughter one of those roller coasters at Silver Dollar City, I came to understand what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said, hold fast. Hold on. Get a grip. Now, I don't remember reading, make sure your eyes are closed. Normally, I don't do that when I'm riding roller coasters. But the last time I rode one, not long ago, I was holding fast. I was holding on. I had a grip. If it had been your arm, you would have called it a death grip. I had a grip. I was digging in. And I happen to have my eyes closed, to be honest with you. Now, you see, our profession of faith is our common denominator. Let me say that again. Our profession of faith is our common denominator. We're the church. We're God's people. It's why we are a church. It's our profession of faith. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. It's why we come together. It's the thread that weaves us together, forming the tapestry of the image of Christ for the world to see. Now, what is that? It's our profession of faith. Do you have a profession of faith? If you don't, I want to encourage you. Begin right now making plans that when we give the invitation here in a few minutes, you'll come forward and let us introduce you to Jesus Christ. It is our profession of our faith that assures you an entrance into heaven. It is our profession of faith that puts us into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It is our profession of faith that is our common denominator. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, I got a profession of faith to you. Just go ahead. I got a profession of faith to you. That is what makes the church the church. Now follow this. It's not the building. That's not what makes the church the church. That's not what brings us together this morning. Beautiful that we're putting in some brand new windows, enhancing this auditorium. But that's not why we come. That's not what makes the church the church. It's not the programs that we do, and we've got some great programs here at First Baptist Church, but that's not the church. That's not what binds us together. It's not the activities that we do, and we do a lot of activities. Just look again at the bulletin. We do lots of activities here, but that's not what binds us together. It's not the music, and we have tremendous music here and tremendous musicians, and we say, man, I just really love the traditional music. No, I love the contemporary music. No, listen, that's not what binds us together here. It's not the people. We got great people here, great people, wonderful people at First Baptist Church Mountain Grove, but that's not what binds us together. It's not the staff. We got a great staff. We got a good staff. But that's not, listen, it's our profession of faith. Amen. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Hold on. Hold on to that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose grip of that. That is what weaves the tapestry of the image of Christ. Now look at the next phrase there. We're in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Look at that. Without wavering. Without wavering. You know what that word means? It means not leaning, but firm. Let me see. I wonder what illustration I could use here. Ah, have you ever seen a tree that's loaded with ice? And that is. But what's he saying there? He said, don't be that way. You're the church. Don't be that way. It doesn't matter if ice storms come. And by the way, they will. Spiritually. He says, stand firm. Stay strong. The profession of your faith without wavering. Say those two words with me. Without wavering. He says, don't lean. Stay upright. Stay strong. All right, here's the second thing I want us to see. We're talking about factors of the principle of church attachment. Number one, it involves an exhibition of your faith. Number two, it incites an expression of your love and good works. It incites an expression of love and good works. That's verse 24. He says, and so he's adding to what we had in verse 23. Let's hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another. That word consider means to observe fully, to understand, to comprehend. Now, look at verse 24. He says, and let us consider one another. So we're talking about the body of Christ here. We're talking about the church. The thing that binds us together is that common denominator of our profession of faith. And he goes ahead to say, and let us consider one another. And that word consider means I'm going to understand, I'm going to comprehend. So now follow this. If I'm going to do that, if I'm going to understand you, if I want to understand the people within the body of Christ, if I want to understand the people that I'm sitting next to and the people that are sitting in front of me and people that are sitting behind me, if I want to understand this family, you can't do that through casual acquaintance. And tragically, for so many of us, that is what our interaction is within the church. It's casual acquaintance. And that's really unfortunate. So that means we're going to have to work at understanding. We're going to have to work at considering. He says, and let us consider one another. So I need to observe fully. I need to understand. I need to comprehend. That means I'm going to have to go beyond casual acquaintance and really get to know you. Everybody following this? We're talking about the family here. We're talking about the church. We're talking about God's people. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're all going to have to work at considering one another. Now, look at verse 24, because there's a purpose behind your perception. There's a purpose behind your perception. And what is that purpose? In verse 24, and let us consider one another to do what? To provoke. To provoke.
I'll be honest with you. We actually do a pretty good job of provoking, don't we? We're pretty good at provoking one another. And that's the purpose. Don't shut me off yet. We've got to finish this. That's the purpose of our considering one another. That's the purpose of our going beyond casual acquaintance. That is so that we can provoke one another. And that word provoke means to incite. It means to stir up. Well, again, as Baptists, we're pretty doggone good at stirring up one another. But look what it says. To provoke one another unto what? Come on, you can say that out loud. Love and what? Good deeds, good works. Ah, that's what our purpose for provoking is. To provoke one another to love and good works. Say that phrase, love and good works, with me. Love and good works. Say it again. Love and good works. Say it again. Love and good works. To provoke, to stir up one another unto love and good works. That's what the provoking is all about. That's what the inciting is all about. We ought to be stirring one another up in that regard, stirring us up to express love and to exhibit good works. Now, the emphasis here isn't on what the believer gets from the assembly, but on what he contributes to the assembly. Everybody following this? Because let me tell you something. That is just the opposite of what our culture promotes, my friend. What can we get? What can we get? What can we get from the church? That's not what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. He's saying, no, there's a purpose here, and your purpose is, what are you giving? How are you stirring up one another? Well, I managed to get somebody mad at me the other day. Oh, good move. Wow, way to go. No, that's not what he's saying. Let's stir one another up. Let's incite one another. But what's the purpose? Unto love and good works. So that together we're learning how to love one another. And we're stirring one another up. We're building a fire under somebody. To do what? Love and good works. And the emphasis here isn't on what we can get. I'll tell you what, you don't have to talk to very many people at First Baptist Church, or any church, to be honest with you, that the basic mentality is what the mentality is of our culture, which is, what's in it for me? When the reality ought to be, what are you in it for? Well, you ought to be in it for inciting others unto love and good works. Now, the best way to do that, my friend, is for you to be the example. Is for you to be the example of love. For you to be the example, the leader in good works. And invite and encourage others to come alongside and to be with you in loving and doing the good works, so that men may see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Unto love and good works.
So it's not what you can get out of it. It's not what your Sunday school class can get out of it. It's not what your small group can get out of it. It's not what your family can get out of it. Now, what are you putting into it? What are you investing? How's God using you to incite others to do what? Love and good works. All right, here's number three. We're talking about factors of the principle of church attachment. Number three, it infuses an extension of your Christian relationship. It infuses an extension of your Christian relationship. Now, we go into verse 25 for that. And verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That not forsaking. And that simply means don't leave behind. Don't forsake. Don't desert. Listen, everyone matters. Everyone in God's family matters. You matter. I hope there's not anyone that comes to church at First Baptist Church, Mountain Grove. Now, I tell you what, I've hung around Baptist long enough and Baptist Church long enough that this is probably not an accurate statement, but I'm telling you what I hope. I hope that there's not anyone that comes to First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove and then leaves and says, I just don't feel like I matter down there. That's a tragic deal. That's a tragic deal. And unfortunately, I know it happens. I know it happens in churches and shouldn't. Everybody with me? It shouldn't happen. In fact, we need to understand that everyone matters. Everyone is valuable. Now look what it says. Not forsaking the assembling. And that assembling means a complete collection. A complete collection. Now, being married to Mrs. Scribner would say that you're going to spend some time at flea markets, antique stores, garage sales. I'm okay with that, by the way. Both of those, being married to Mrs. Scribner and spending time at those places. But it means it's what we're going to do. And there have been times over the years that as we're at a flea market or at a garage sale or something, and I'd see her with one little item, and it might be a cup or a saucer or a piece of silverware. I said, what you got? I'm finally going to complete the collection. Well, we've been married long enough, but let me tell you something. We started out with a complete collection, but some of them have been broken. And it's not because she's a bad throw either. They just got broken. And then she would find this item and she'd say, huh, I need this for my silver service, or I need this for, we're down to 5 cups and I need 6, or we're down to 10 saucers and I need 2 more, or whatever. That's the picture here. Not forsaking the assembling. And that assembling means a complete collection. So catch that terminology, my friend. If someone's missing from our fellowship, then we don't have a complete collection. Everybody with me? If someone's not here today, or if someone's missing from your Sunday school class, or if someone's missing from your family, or if someone's missing from your small group, or if someone's missing from the pew where Baptists always sit, this is my pew. And as you look down the pew and you realize, well, hey, so-and-so's missing today. Well, we don't have a complete collection. So we need to be alert to that. We need to be concerned about that. And if they're missing for 2 weeks, if we've gone that long without calling them, we need to contact them. We need to do that more and more in our Sunday school classes. We need to do that in our worship services. We need to do that in our different groups and different small groups and different relationships. You know the people that sit there. You know the people that hang out there. And I'm telling you, if they're not missing, then we're missing. I mean, if they're not here, we're missing someone. And we don't have a complete collection. And we just need to be alert to that. Is someone sick? Do we need to check on them? Is someone not here because something's gone wrong in their family, or they're dealing with some matter, or are they out of town, or are they on vacation, or are they disheartened about something at church? Now, I find this interesting. We're in point number 3. It infuses an extension of your Christian relationship. And he says there in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look at that next phrase in verse 25. As the manner of some is. Oh, they must have been Baptists. Because for some reason, they weren't there at the assembly. As the manner of some is. Maybe they got lazy and became irregular in church attachment. You know anybody like that? You ever been there yourself? They got lazy and became irregular in church attachment. Maybe they didn't have a spiritual hunger for worship and the Word. Maybe that was it. You ever been there? Maybe they got too involved in the world. You know anybody like that? You ever been there? Maybe they got too busy with other things. But it's amazing how the enemy can get us engulfed in busyness, isn't it? Maybe they got upset over something or someone at church. Can you imagine that? Boy, that happens at times, doesn't it? Maybe they got their nose bent out of joint over something. Boy, that happens far too frequently. Or maybe they got hurt. Maybe they got hurt. I went on my walk one day this weekend, and there's been a man that I've met there 2 or 3 months ago. He's really been a recluse type guy, but I've been trying to pry open that door and found out some time ago that he was a physician. He's a doctor, and he comes over to the track, and he walks many times the same day I do. And this week, the door opened up. I mean, I spent probably 10 to 15 minutes with him, and that's more than all the time together so far that I've spent with him. But he started to open up, and in the course of that conversation, I told him that I was a pastor. And he said, "Oh, I thought there was a reason I didn't like you." And I said, "Hey, get in line." And then he said immediately, once he found out I was a pastor, he said, "Well, just so that you know, I'm an atheist." And I said, "No, you're not." I said, "God doesn't believe in atheists." Isn't that a funny line? He didn't know what to do with that one. And then he went ahead to tell me. He said, "Well, I'm not in church either." He said, "I don't go to church." He said, "I used to. Grew up in church." And man, I appreciated the fact. Boy, he opened up and started sharing some things. I've been praying. I'm gonna win that sucker to Christ some of these days. So anyway, he said, "I used to." But he said, when I saw how they treated my dad, He said, I left church and I haven't been back since. And I've decided I don't even believe in God. Let me tell you, that story is told time and time again. I saw how somebody was treated at church, and I left church, and I haven't been back since. Wow. So pray for him. I said, hey, after we walk some of these days, why don't we go out for breakfast? Well, I ain't going to talk about religion. I said, well, I am. You can talk about being a physician. So pray for him that the door will be open. The door of his heart will be open. But I want you to hear what he told me. I saw how the church treated my dad. I left and I haven't been back since. Evidently, in that circumstance, that church hadn't been incited unto love and good works, huh? Isn't it tragic that we, in the name of Christ, as the body of Christ, can get ourselves in those type of circumstances? As the manner of some is. But he cautions us, don't you do that, not forsaking the assembling. We need to have a complete collection. All right, here's number four. We're talking about principle of church attachment. Number one, it involves an exhibition of your faith. Number two, it incites an expression of love and good works. Number three, it infuses an extension of your Christian relationship. Number four, it includes an exhortation of each other. And that's also verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. And that word exhort means to call together. It means to call together. Come on up here. Come on up here. Yeah, means to call together. Come on up here. See that? Come on. Let's stand together here. That's the picture. But exhorting, it means to invite. It means to call together. It means to call alongside. Look at this. Hey, we're family. Hey, we're normal sized people too. This is great. Look at that. Do you see how I slipped that in there?
Yeah, I noticed it. Yeah.
That's the picture, but exhorting one another. That's great. Thank you all. Thank you. You can go back to sleep. Isn't that a great picture? We're together. We're alongside one another. We're unified. We're together on this thing. Well, what do you call it? Oh, church. That's what we call it. Yeah, let's call it church. That is what it is. And that ought to get us excited because, hey, we've called ourselves together here. And when we exhort one another, we're inviting. We're encouraging. We're saying, hey, come and stand at my side here. That's where the church is. That's a picture of the church. Do you like that? That's the picture. That's what it ought to be. It's a beautiful picture of standing in unity and togetherness and standing side by side. All right, here's the last thing. It infers an expectation of Christ's return. Look at the last phrase there in verse 25. It infers an expectation of Christ's return. He says there, but exhorting one another. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some people have done, but exhorting one another. Look at this. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day approaching there has to do with the return of Christ, the day of Christ's return. Now, here's an interesting thing. You see, one of the signs, now follow this, one of the signs of the soon return of Jesus Christ is that people will slack up on church attendance, church attachment, church involvement. That's one of the signs, and interestingly, we are seeing it in the 21st century heavily. People are slacking up with church attachment, church involvement, church attendance. But it's just the opposite of how we ought to be. As we discern the signs of the times, and I hope you are, I hope you're engaged in that, and I'm telling you, they're daily, and not just daily, they're almost hourly, the signs of the return of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be in perilous times. We are in perilous times. And so as we see the signs of the time shaping up, we should be even more compelled to not just go to church, but to be the church. Now, if you were looking for a place to shout and clap and say amen, that would have been a good spot right there, because I'm telling you, that's the great, great need of today for us to be the church and consequently to go to church. But to be the church in our walk, to be the church in our worship, to be the church in our witness, to be the church in our watch, and to be the church in our work. What about church membership? Now, it's probably not biblical. But church attachment is biblical. Now listen to this. If this church has church membership, which we do, if they're not asking you to cut off your left pinky finger, which we're not, then consider the principle of church attachment. As much as anything, it's a database. From a standpoint of membership. But the writer of Hebrews suggests that church attachment is at least five things. Just from these three verses. Let me pray with you. Father, it's great to be attached to your church. It's great to be attached to the body of Christ. It's great to be attached to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church. Thank you, Father, that Jesus came to die for the church. And thank you for the invitation to come to you through Jesus Christ. And thank you for the benefits of attaching ourselves to a local assembly, a local body of Christ. And thank you, Father, for what you are doing in and through and for this particular body that we refer to as the First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. It's exciting to see you work. And Father, help us individually, personally, to seek you first. And then to ask ourselves, what is it that we can contribute to this assembly for the blessing and benefit of others and for the glory of the head of the church, who is Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.